My message tonight is taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Now, I have the same gospel to preach to you here in Cardiff as to the people in South India. It's an universal message. It doesn't need to be adapted. Whatever part of the world you find yourself in, this truth concerning Jesus Christ and Him crucified fits all. And in these words, we find the wonder of the Christian message. No condemnation. Now, what's your instinctive reaction to those two words? No condemnation. They are borrowed from the law courts, so we must think of legal terms here, and they are uttered by the judge, and he is acquitting the one who is standing in the dock. And if you were that person, a criminal, certainly guilty of breaking a law and standing under condemnation and expecting from the judge words of judgment, then to hear these two words, no condemnation, would cause you to be overwhelmed with relief and joy and thanksgiving. But probably tonight, that's not your instinctive reaction. No condemnation. So what? Now, can I put it the other way around? It's sometimes useful to do some mathematics with the word. I'm not adding or taking away from Scripture. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean if you put it the other way around? Well, I've written it down here. There is, therefore, now condemnation to all those that are not in Christ Jesus. Do you get it? I think that makes it a bit more striking. You're either in or out. If you're in Christ, you will hear those wonderful words, no condemnation. If you're outside, by default, you are still in a state of condemnation. Listen to the words of the Saviour, in case you think that I'm taking things too far. And he was speaking to Nicodemus, a religious man like most of us here tonight. And he's just announced the good news of the gospel, for God so loved the world. And then he says, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now we're coming to that. I want to get to Christ, don't worry. But he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So this is the approach I want us to take tonight, to catch again the wonder of those two words, no condemnation. What is it like to be out of Christ? And if you're not truly saved tonight, you are still outside. I mentioned a few sermons ago that drawing of the broad and the narrow way. Well, the one I've seen is wrong. Well, it's unscriptural at the start, because you've got a choice, it seems, either to go on the broad or the narrow way. But that's not how the Bible puts it. It says that we are already on the broad way that leads to hell. We are already in the city of destruction, to borrow from Pilgrim's Progress. You are already tonight in a state of condemnation if you are not in Christ. When you were born into this world, you were outside. And it doesn't matter what our background may be. As I said at the start, I can preach this to people in South India, mainly from a Hindu background. I can say the same to you from a Christian background. You young ones in the gallery who've been brought up in good Christian homes, I envy you. But that doesn't make you safe. You are still outside of Christ until you believe in him. You who have come to church for a long time and still have not been saved, you are in this state of condemnation. All of us, by default, is in this position. And it's surely good then, even if we're dealing with negatives, to consider what a dangerous and ultimately terrible state it is to be in. What's the condemnation? Well, I know that there's something in you, conscience, that condemns you. You can try and drown the voice of conscience, but it will always be there. A bit like Big Ben in London. During the day, even if you're driving right past it, you can't hear the bells. There's too much noise. But once it's the middle of the night, you can hear Big Ben. And maybe you're filling your life with all sorts of things in order to drown out that accusing voice of conscience telling you you're not right. You're breaking God's law. You're not ready to die. And that's part of this state of condemnation. So there's that little voice of conscience. But the condemnation is ultimately this, that there is judgment between me and my Maker. I am under his wrath. And at the moment, I'm in this state. Now, condemnation. And yet, you know, there's the possibility of escaping. But one day, there'll be a finality. And that's it. And this is why I want to impress upon you tonight the need to respond to the good news of the gospel. We're already under condemnation. This is why this world's in the terrible state that it's in. God isn't the author of sin or tragedy, but he allows these things to happen. And as C.S. Lewis put it, they are God's loudspeakers to wake us up to our need. Because once we die, and we're all going there, you have an appointment, and you cannot escape it. Man is appointed once to die, and after that, the judgment. And this is what gives me a burden tonight. When you stand before your Maker, if you are still in this state of condemnation, then you will continue like that forever. Now, can you grasp that? Is your conscience awake enough as I bring the word to bear to make you see that your need is great tonight, Are you so preoccupied with the problems of this life that you're neglecting this great problem, my soul? What will happen to me after I die? How can I be right with God? I'm not interested in anything else. This is the one thing that is needful. When I see Hindus in India, this is what they need. When I look at your faces, this is the same here in Cardiff. Oh, that I might be able to persuade you to flee from the wrath to come. Do you see your danger? Or is this just going over your head? Condemned forever. Does that do something to you? Death can come suddenly. You're unprepared. And you're whisked into eternity. And you cannot get out of there then. When did the church get into the rut where she forgot about the reality of hell? Why are we embarrassed to talk about it? If this is the fate of mankind by nature, then we should be warning people about this condemnation. Forgive me for not pleading enough with you to do something about fleeing from the city of destruction and going to the city of refuge. There's a manslayer after you. And it's not a miscarriage of justice. God is never angry in a sinful way. His righteous judgment is upon you. When you stand before him on that day, you won't be able to point to him and say, "You are unfair." Will not the judge of the earth do right? Condemnation. Being saved, trusting in Jesus Christ, is something for everybody here tonight. I wish the Spirit would enable me to rattle your cage so that you see that in the midst of all of our prosperity, there is this one inevitability. Maybe that's one reason why the gospel gets more response in poorer countries. People do not have all the luxuries that we enjoy, yet they are happier than we are. But they are more aware of the fleeting nature of life and of the fact that death is there. They see it all around them. And yet we have become immune to these things. And we try to persuade ourselves that we're not going to die. We're going to be here forever. We're all right without God. And what this word does is wake us up and try to get us to see it's not so. Outside. That's where we are when we come into this world. But let's move to the thrust of the verse then. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. This is what I want to dwell on. Oh, why am I a Christian? What's the first benefits of being saved? I'll tell you. It's about not being under condemnation anymore. Being right with God. Not having to go to hell, but going to heaven. This is a wonderful statement. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. There's no other place where you will have that hope. You won't find it in religion. You won't find it in good works. You won't find it in the world. You won't find it in yourself. But in Christ. Now, how does it work? What's the gospel? What's the good news of Christianity to those who are condemned? Well, it's all in that word, therefore. You know, the gospel isn't just something superficial. There is a depth here. And what causes us to be under no more condemnation in Christ is explained in all the previous chapters of Romans. And we're not going to look at them now. I'm giving you a clear presentation of this good news. But we're no longer accused by our consciences. We are no longer under the curse of the law. That's where you're still at if you're just trying to justify yourself by your works. You have no peace by the works of the law. No flesh shall be justified in his sight, because by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How did it happen? Not through us having to keep the law, but through Christ building a righteousness for us, and especially by him being made a curse in our place. The law being honored, God the just satisfied. To look on him and pardon me. No condemnation. Christ being condemned instead of me. I'm delivered from a guilty conscience. The law cannot accuse me now. I'm free. Can you see it? Christ suffering hell so that I don't go there. He's the innocent one, the unblemished Lamb of God. And yet, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. I'm in him. In the city of refuge. Here's a place right next to the Godhead where I, a wretched sinner, can be safe and at peace. Now, let me ask you then, are you in him? Not, is your name in the member's handbook? You can have your name there and not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. not how much you're doing in the church. You can even be a preacher and still not believe. I'm just asking, are you in Christ? Have you run to him for safety, for refuge? How do I do that, you ask? Well, I see my state. Here am I in the city of destruction. And as one Welsh hymn puts it, I try to go to Mount Sinai. That's the first place I go to. I try by doing my best, by keeping the commandments, by coming to church, all good things, but I'm doing them for the wrong reasons. I try to be accepted by God. And the nearer I get to Mount Sinai, the more impossible it looks. It overhangs me. It makes my condemnation worse. And on Sinai, the law says, you cannot be accepted here. You must flee to Mount Calvary. And then I go, and seeing him there hanging on a tree, I see my sin. I see punishments for my sin. I see the price being paid, and the load falls off my back. It happens like that. Nothing complicated, is there? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? I was. It was my sin that caused him to suffer so. Is that your case? Or is your sin still upon you, causing you to be condemned? Or have you taken your sin to Christ? I lay my sin on Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God. What are you doing tonight? What is your Christianity if you don't know anything about these things? Have you turned to him? Do you think of Christianity as something that you offer to God? Or do you think of it in this way, as something that Christ takes away from you? He takes the sin from off your back. He transfers it upon himself, and he deals with it. It's good news. If I was asking you to do something to please God, it would be bad news. It would be the most discouraging thing in all the world. But I'm declaring Christ has done it all. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You just run to him, my friend. And he will accept you. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Imagine how that woman caught in adultery felt when she heard the words, neither do I condemn thee. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? He can condemn. He has the right. None of us can judge another. When I point a finger at you, there are three fingers pointing back at myself. But Christ, as the spotless Son of God, has the right to condemn every one of us. But out of sheer grace, He doesn't. And he doesn't just say, I forgive. He takes our sin upon himself and deals with the condemnation. Oh, I'm offering a compassionate Savior to you tonight. Whatever your situation, however far you've gone, he can bring you to himself. Now, just to conclude, those who are believers here, I just want to impress this upon you as well. Do you see what it means? No condemnation? Maybe I'm using my imagination too much here, but I can think of the Apostle Paul saying these words and jumping up and down for joy. Is there anything wrong in seeing it like that? I don't think so. We were accused once as a denomination, Calvinistic Methodist, for being jumpers. Oh, that the truth of the gospel would so come again to us in power that we would be accused of that again. Better than sleepers. The thrill. Maybe there are some here tonight who are still, even though in Christ, in safety, bound. You know, it's like being in a dark room when it's sunny outside. The curtains are drawn. And what needs to be done is that the curtains need to be opened. Let the sunlight in. Is your conscience still accusing you? Oh, you've sinned again. You've let the Lord down. You're not truly saved. You're still condemned. Have you got that at the moment? You're not moved by this gospel. You're a dud. No condemnation. Where are your accusers in the light of what Christ has done? What shall we then say? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who is he that condemns? What do you do with an accusing conscience? You show it the blood of the Lamb. You say that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. And I trust in him. You look at him crucified and you see the law honored, the justice of God satisfied, and your conscience is silenced. What about the devil? Oh, he's a nuisance, isn't he? What do you do then? Well, the same thing. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Where are your accusers? And I have to say this. Other people, even Christians, they might point a finger at you. They might cold shoulder you. They might give you and other people the impression that you're not that spiritual. And you, as a result, are not enjoying the liberty of the children of God. Listen. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If you're trusting in Christ, the only thing you have to be ashamed of is sin. You're free to serve him. You can walk through this world with head held high, because the Son has set you free. Oh, my friends, we're too bound. These words, no condemnation, are true. They cannot be revoked. It would be a miscarriage of justice for that to happen. You cannot be in Christ and then out of Christ, once in him forever. If he's paid the price, if he suffered the exact punishment for your sin, God would be unjust to punish you. All I'm saying then to everybody here tonight, whether you're believers or still outside of Christ, is look to him and run to him. The devil will do his utmost to keep you away from Christ, even those who've trusted in him. If the devil can get you to despair and not look to Christ, he's winning. So wherever you are, just go to Christ. There's no point where you cannot go to him. I wish I could use an illustration to help here as I finish. We all know that terrible illustration of all roads leading up to the same mountaintop, as teaching that there are many ways to God, different religions. Well, we don't believe in that. But can I say this? All roads lead to Christ, not in the sense of other religions, but wherever you are, there will be a way to Christ. Whether you are completely new to these things and feel condemned, I want to tell you, you can turn to Christ this moment. Or if you have known this gospel and you have believed it and yet have gone far away from him, you can still go back to Christ. You can go to him. Whether you are young and don't know whether it's the right time to turn to him, yes, it is. You're never too young to remember the Creator. You can go to him now in your youth. Or whether you fear you're too old and he won't accept you, yes, you can go to him. That's what I'm trying to say. Just go to him. And may every one of us here hear those words, no condemnation. And may they make our hearts leap within us as we see that we have an all-sufficient Saviour for his name's sake. Amen.